This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Right now.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It made me feel bad that someone who's accomplished a lot in the league is that insecure.
I still had my Fox hat on and not my coaching hat on.
Thought it was way out of line, inappropriate, and I think he needs to keep my coach's names out of his mouth.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. Still to come, Bears general manager Ryan Poles. MLB insider Tom Verducci. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've got, again, Tom Verducci joining us in 1 hour from now. Set your clocks, folks, because 1 hour from now we'll talk about the impending baseball trade deadline. Great chat with Kevin O'Connell of the Minnesota Vikings, head coach there. Let's be fair and balanced, right? Let's be fair and balanced, although I guess it wouldn't be fair or balanced because we don't have anyone from the Lions or the Packers on in this
True.
Show.
We can do that tomorrow, I guess.
There is tomorrow. Yeah. You got a lot of runway.
Yeah,
right here on the Roku channel and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. Smart enough to have us. And so joining us here on the program is the general manager of the Chicago Bears, Ryan Poles. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Where have I found you? Where are you right now?
At training camp. We just finished up practice.
Okay.
Good practice. Got that day off yesterday and excited about first padded practice tomorrow.
Okay. Let's just jump into the story that went viral over the weekend involving your rookie tackle, Ryan. Is it true that the kid that you drafted 10th overall out of Tennessee, a great institution of higher learning, prepared for a conditioning drill for wide receivers instead of tackles, and then he crushed it because, you know, he's an offensive tackle that was preparing for a wide receiver drill? Did that actually happen with Darnell Wright?
That actually happened. It actually happened. So I got an idea of what's going to happen next year in terms of the program that he gets.
Okay. And?
Yeah.
How did this happen? What gives? Did he read the wrong PDF come in his inbox? What happened, Ryan?
Yeah, he must have looked at the wrong PDF. But I tell you what, the results were great. He was in shape. His weight was down. His lean mass was up. And I mean, that conditioning test was easy. He barely broke a sweat, which was good to see.
So, and did you know this happened prior to him actually admitting publicly that he prepared for the wrong conditioning test? At all?
No, I had no clue.
You learned it, but just like the rest of us. All right. So then, this stands to reason. Follow up question here is he now demanding a tackle eligible route to be added into the tree there in your offense, Ryan?
Yeah, we gotta think about it now. The beautiful thing is he moves so well. We might be able to pull it off.
What'd you like about him that you drafted him? You and I haven't spoken since the draft. What'd you like about him?
Yeah. Just there's, you know, that combination of size and athleticism that's really hard to find. And then in terms of what we're trying to do up front is just be a really tough unit. And, you know, he's a prick sometimes, and he finishes. He's got the mean streak, which I absolutely love. So that's contagious as well. So that group of five should be playing at a different level this
okay,
year.
I like that. That's quite a scouting report right there, Ryan. So – let's walk through the biggest decision that was made by anyone in the non-playing season, and that was you having the first overall pick gifted to you. I'm hitting the Wayback Machine here. You knew I was going to go here anyway, I'm sure, when you knew I was looking for you to come on the show. And you made the decision to stick with Justin Fields. Was that a decision you made immediately, never wavered from? Walk me through that one, because obviously that set up the rest of what you were going to do, not just this year, but for years to come, Ryan.
Yeah, no, we had to take our time with that decision. You never want to be in that spot, but opportunities can present itself, you know, to improve your football team.
Mm-hmm.
We just had to figure out how we wanted to do that. So we went through the whole process. We had to look at all of the quarterbacks and then kind of see how can we impact our team, you know, in the biggest way. And I was really encouraged on the way Justin played in terms of making plays. And I'm excited to see him take that next step as a passer. And I really believe if we can get both things going, it could be a really dangerous combination and help our team get to the next level. And then at the same time, it's as a decision maker and a team builder, it was a cool opportunity to improve our team today and this year, but also set us up for success, you know, with draft capital down the road as well. So we could do both things at the same time, which got us excited. And I thought it worked out really well.
No, I mean, my gosh, forget the draft capital, which obviously you're not going to. That's your job. The fact that you get to keep Justin Fields and get DJ Moore for him is what one would call a value add. So was that always part of the package with Carolina when you were going to go there? Just like you could, we'll take one of the best receivers that few people talk about and stick him here in Chicago, Ryan?
Yeah, there's a lot of different scenarios, but that was one that was I was convicted about for sure, which obviously well documented. It was really hard for Carolina to get to that point, but I was excited to get him in the building. And I tell you what, if you're at training camp, you see the plays that he's making and the chemistry him and Justin have built so far, you got to be excited for what the season is going to look like.
Walk me through that chemistry part, because obviously that's something you have a front row seat to, and we don't. What do you got for me there?
Yeah, anytime you add, you know, a new receiver, you know, there's a timing element that's got to be put together, and they got to know what yardage to get to in terms of the routes, and also kind of understand the speed the receivers can get. How are they when they get out of the top of their route? And you can see that flow. You can see anticipation from Justin, which is really cool to see, and also trust. There's a trust element. Can you just let it rip and let your guy go make a play? And we've been able to see that from him so far in camp. And obviously we got a long ways to go before the season, so I only think it's going to get better.
So do you feel it would be a plus if Justin Fields does not run for 1,143 yards this upcoming season? I'm serious. I know that sounds like a facetious question, but Is that the plan? You know, because I know things are quite analytics driven, numbers driven. Is that right. Is that something you got on your drawing board there?
I don't think it's ever the plan. I do think with increased protection and more weapons to throw to, he won't need to run as much. But you sprinkle that in, and obviously having the threat to do that on occasion, maybe not at the same volume. Again, it's going to be a hard thing for a defense to prepare for.
Okay, Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm sure you get this question maybe when you're out and about. So let me add to it. What is your stance, your take on the current state of the running back market in the National Football League, and why we're seeing what we're seeing right now?
Yeah, good question. You know, it's interesting. What's not talked about a whole lot is just, there is a salary cap, and when other positions explode and expand fast in the market, it has to be, you know, taken from somewhere. Maybe it's multiple positions. And I just think we've seen, you know, the quarterback position, the defensive tackles, the pass rushers have exploded. So it is a pie that has to be adjusted as things move forward. So it does affect different positions. And I know the running backs are feeling that way. And then strategically, those guys have to make a decision in terms of, you know, what's a good offer, what makes sense to them, for them and their careers and their families. It may not fit the stack that's been set up before them, but it's an interesting thing to see. We're fortunate right now, you know, with Herbert and Foreman, we don't have to worry about that at the moment.
So. Well, I mean, so, but you're one of the 32 general managers of the National Football League and, you know, roster builders. So I'll ask you, is that position number one on the list of positions where it's easier to find somebody out of college to give you the same analytic or actual production on the field as a sixth, seventh year veteran who might want a heck of a lot more money?
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, a part of that process. There's been a lot of guys that were drafted in mid to late rounds that have done really well in the league. But I'd say this, I think for the running back group, you know, the more versatile that they can be, and I think that's why kind of McCaffrey's been the last one to be done. He can do so much. So I think it's going to be so important for those guys to really, you know, expand the role and show that they can run routes and catch the ball and be a weapon out of the backfield. So I think that's going to help those guys kind of achieve what they're looking for.
Well, because again, I mean, I bet you Barkley would have taken the contract you just gave Cole Kmet, your tight end. You know what I mean? And I know I'm talking about somebody else in another team, but why did you feel comfortable giving a tight end a 4-year deal, $50 million, $32 million guaranteed? That sounds good for a running back right now, Brian.
Yeah. With Cole, we were excited to get that done. He really reflects everything that we're looking for: dependability, durability, toughness, leadership in the locker room. He's part of this core group that's going to help us take that next step.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. I've been seeing out there in the old Twitterverse or Xverse or whatever the heck it's being called now. I'll ask you, as a GM in the NFL and somebody who's been around this for a while, would you, if there's a kid at age 14, 15, 16 in high school with some significant ability, would you counsel him to stay at running back or change positions for longevity and success financially in the NFL? What advice would you give that person right now, Ryan Poles?
Yeah, whatever position that they're really good at, I would say, stick with that. Like, I wouldn't worry about changing positions for all this. Again, I would definitely tell them to make sure that they can do more, pass protection, catching the ball, all of those things. So I wouldn't talk. Be yourself and play the position that you were born to play, and let everything else kind of take care of itself.
Okay, and so even if it's running back, because again, it just feels, like that is the topic du jour right now, Ryan. And, it just seems that the position is valued. If you're not someone like McCaffrey who stands out, you're just not going to get the deal in the NFL right now, So that's why I throw that out there.
It's hard to speak on because, and I don't know many people that are asking the question. I don't know what the teams have offered those players either.
Right.
I think you kind of have to know that before, we just say that there's, no market for them or a deal can't get done. That's what were some of the teams willing to do? I think that's kind of an important part of the equation.
And before I let you go, Justin Fields apparently turned down the opportunity to appear in that Netflix series Quarterback that a lot of folks are watching right now. Were you privy to some of his thought processes on that and willing to maybe share some of what you may know about his decision, Ryan?
Yeah, no, I think they asked him independently. I wasn't part of that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it's always a balance, right? Like, I think it's there's a part of it that's obviously good for the game. It's access, which is really cool. But at the same time, it's invasive, and there's guys that want to, keep their private life to themselves and go about their business and not worry about maybe some of the distractions that come with it. So obviously he felt that way and wants to keep doing his thing, on his own with no cameras. So I respect that.
And so how are you feeling on the outset of this season? What would you say to Bears fans around the world right now about this roster that you and Eberflus are putting together in your mold right now? What would you say, Ryan?
I say, excited, really excited. You can see the difference from year one to year two. Guys are starting to understand, concepts and schemes and playing faster. The young guys are knowing what they're supposed to be doing. And then the additions that we've made, you can see those guys making plays on a daily basis, both on the offensive side and defensive side. I've been stoked with, TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds, on the defensive side as additions. And obviously, Chase Claypool, DJ Moore, Mooney, those guys have been making plays for Justin as well. So it's a fun time. We're getting better. We're taking that next step, which obviously should lead to more wins and eventually, sustaining success and winning championships here in Chicago.
Yeah, man. I mean, you definitely are faster. There's no question this roster is a faster team than the one you inherited. That's for damn sure. There's no question about it. And that's by design, I imagine. Yes? I know that sounds ridiculous to ask, but I'll ask it anyway.
Yeah, always trying to get bigger, longer, faster, constantly.
Okay. Tell Coach I said hi and that I'll be looking for him as well. And I appreciate your time during training camp.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Good.
Yeah. Well, good to chat with you, too. That's Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, here on the Rich Eisen Show. What did you make of his comments in the running back market? Don't you see that? By the way, am I wrong? Don't you see that on the X-verse out there? Folks are like, you know, did you tell your kid not to be a running back in high school right now? So like you gotta say it again?
Don't call it X. If we keep calling it Twitter, the X thing will go away.
So is that right?
Message to the national media out there. Just keep calling it Twitter.
Okay, so the Twitterverse, now that we're through all that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be running backs. You used to be linemen. Now it's running backs. Don't do it.
That's the coach and general manager. Like, the cap is real. It's exploding in the at all these other positions. It's got to come from somewhere, and they're taking it from running backs because they feel that somebody from college. All right, we keep hitting this story. Could you imagine? You're living in San Francisco, and you've got this apartment. And somebody places a huge, bright, flashing X on top of their building across from you. And it's like your Kramer and the Kenny Rogers Rollin' Roaster is just lit up a sign right outside.
Mm-hmm. Like a strobe light, 24 hours a day.
How the hell does that happen? And is it being held up by sandbags? Did I see that photograph too? And they're not letting San Francisco and building inspectors on the roof? Did you see that?
I did not, but that does not surprise me, given who we're dealing with.
What in the heck is going on? Can't one of these aliens that landed on the planet take care of this guy?
I'm still banned from X, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I think that guy's a kook, too.
You think so?
Kind of.
All right. speaking of overreacting, it's Overreaction Monday right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You ready to hit that?
Hey.
Okay, well, let's take a break. And Chris Brockman and I with TJ and DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Overreaction Monday coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It is 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because I get to set my side of the bed to the way I want, and she gets to set her side of the bed to the way that she wants, and it is just awesome. Sleep Number smart beds automatically respond to your movements as well throughout the night, adjusting to every move so you're both comfortable. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you learn to sleep better. I absolutely love my Sleep Number bed, and you will absolutely love yours. Sleep next level. Unlock your unique potential with a smart bed that can perform as well as you. And now, save up to $500 on the next generation Sleep Number smart bed, plus special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. See store for details. Sleep Number stores, check them out, or sleepnumber.com.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher. And thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Are you still playing fantasy football? You still doing that?
Not really, no. I'm in a league, but I don't control it. Well, my buddies controlled it for me.
Well, because I know we've had conversations about this before, and that there are some interesting tasks that the loser of this league must undertake. So are you, if you lose, even though you're not part of the day-to-day?
Oh, yeah, they'll hold me to it. Absolutely. I don't even know if I could tell you who's on my team right now, but if I were to lose, they would absolutely hold me to it, and we'd have to go take care of business.
What are some of the fails that I guess that you have to do? What are some of the responsibilities of the losers of your league? What is
last year the loser had to go to Alaska for a day.
What do you mean? Like for a day?
Yeah.
For a day?
Yeah.
Okay.
They went to a place called Nome, Alaska. Actually, where the Iditarod, it goes through there, I think.
Yeah, so the loser
flood race.
Regardless of the geographic spot in the United States would have to, for a day, get on a plane, and proof of purchase of the ticket and then take a photo? Like, how do you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was tasks involved. It was, I think he went in March.
Okay.
But it was a whole thing. And that was just 1 year. That was just last year. This year, it'll be entirely different.
What other previous years? Any other examples? Because that's amazing. You have to go to Nome, Alaska.
The year before, the loser, Barstool Sports does the Rough and Rowdy, the boxing deal. He fought in that. At the Super Bowl, the year we were there, he was fighting in the boxing on Friday night before the game there.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. This is you do not want to lose your fantasy league, Jerry.
No, you don't. No, that's why I try to put a lot of faith in my buddy that's running the form.
Check out our YouTube page for our almost 9 years worth of archives. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. It's tough to overreact to stuff in, training camp when you see 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s, and you think, hearing, oh, this guy's going to be great, that guy's going to be great. But you can't overreact enough to injuries. Tim Patrick, who missed all last year with an ACL injury, just got carted off non-contact in Denver training camp.
Yeah, Adam Schefter saying they're checking on his foot ankle area.
Boy, he's working it. Schefter's at the Jim Harbaugh golf outing today.
Oh, where was our invite?
I got invited.
Oh, you didn't?
I'm here.
You didn't want to go?
No, I'm here. I'm here at the desk. I was out last Thursday and Friday. One fewer day than you were out. And ooh. I'm back here now.
Or I might be out this week.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm going. I'm taking a trip.
Oh, good.
Are we just now learning this?
You take vacations.
Yeah, I'm taking a vacation.
I take trips because I have children.
Trips are with kids, right, Mike.
Okay. Trips are for kids.
Yes.
Vacations. You have a vacation.
Tomorrow I got a big issue. So I imagine you're not. We could talk about another time.
You're not with children, right? You're not taking any kids.
No. But tomorrow I got a bigger issue. We'll talk about
it. I got three kids.
Goodness.
That's
deliveries.
A trip.
When you buy appliances.
Even one's a trip.
We got to talk about it.
Oh, really? So we're taking a back seat to a delivered refrigerator?
Because
is that what you're saying?
I'm solo. Wait, at least have other people. I mean, you guys have other people that watch.
What is happening?
I gotta be home.
There's nobody in your world that could let somebody in your house.
The trust. It's the trust.
What about your neighbor?
It's a trust factor.
You got nobody?
Doesn't talk to
you. You could trust like what?
No, I gotta be there.
Somebody's gonna pinch one of your 20 Olafs? Is that what you're worried about?
You're messing with my
plan. They let in a plumber, and all of a sudden, one of your 20 Olafs is missing.
New floor. I'm like,
an Emmy certificates.
They could steal an Emmy.
Apparently, I messed up by not going on vacation this summer.
That's why I said I messed up.
There's still a good month before the football season.
Yeah, but now prices are so high that.
Actually, they're cheap right now.
No, they're not.
What's cheap for one man is not as cheap for another.
This guy's got a boat too, so
I know.
They're not the same.
How do we get on this subject?
I'm sorry.
I have no idea.
Oh, you guys just missing work and not loving our fans.
I got a question for you. This happened this past week.
Okay.
I'm going to bring it up.
Oh. Uh-oh.
On my trip. Oh. Well, on my vacation. We didn't have any kids.
Yeah, you have vacation.
Yeah. Vacation. We didn't have any kids.
Welcome to the vacation
Congrats.
Club.
So, I can't believe I'm going to bring this up on the show, but I'm going to.
That's what we do here.
So, we were out in Long Island for a dear friend's birthday party.
Okay.
And one of the events of the birthday weekend was somebody... had a dinner in her honor at their place. Okay.
Nice.
Okay. Someone had a dinner.
It was friends, mutual friends of the guest of honor.
All right.
Had a party. Invited a bunch of people for dinner at her place, and we were, Susie and I had flown out to Long Island for the birthday weekend, and one of the events is to go to this person's house for dinner.
Okay.
In honor of our friend.
Okay.
Whose house this not was not. Okay. Does that make sense?
Not the person whose birthday it was. The party was at their house before the birthday person.
In honor of the birthday person.
Great.
Okay. Susie said we needed to bring a gift.
For what?
Ooh. Can I take a guess what you brought?
For the person throwing the party.
But it's not at their house and they're not the host.
It was their spot. Their rental. They were giving it to us for the night. all of us. They were throwing the party. She's like, we got to bring a gift.
You flew 3,000 miles.
I, as you know, my stance on destination weddings. But I said, we don't really need a, like, bring a gift. Like, where's the water's edge? Where do we stop on bringing gifts?
The thank you for the thank
the
you.
Thank with the thank with it. Somebody threw this beautiful dinner in an incredibly idyllic spot. It was a beautiful night.
I'm sure.
Great. But I'm like, wait a minute. We have to bring a gift?
I'm kind of like on the fence with this right now.
And
what would be the gift?
I just want to say this. We were the only people who didn't bring a gift.
See?
We were the outlier.
Okay. So you won the argument.
I didn't win anything, pal.
But I'm saying you won.
I didn't win a thing.
The domestic dispute on gifting.
No.
No.
I, in fact, lost it.
What were the gifts?
What were the other gifts?
Flowers, candles, something.
Did anybody bake a rye bread?
There was no marble rye.
Come on.
I don't even know if I'm treading in waters by bringing this up here.
I mean, I'm with
like
the gift
a line
thing.
In the sand needs to be drawn about this X Twitter thing. Keep calling it Twitter. We need to make a line about the gifts, okay?
But somebody was opening their house to us. It was nice.
Were you the people who traveled the furthest?
We're one of them, but it's again,
it's
my pleasure to do it. It's my pleasure to do it.
Parties are a big expense.
My pleasure to do it.
What is the gift adding to
I
the
gift?
I think you got a gift.
It's like you bring a gift to somebody's house. You go to somebody's house. You don't arrive empty-handed.
You were the hands.
Dude, I was so confident that I was right. And I turned out to be... Susie's coming here Friday. Have at it.
Oh.
Because you know I'll be in Canton. No harm.
I'm just joking.
Susie will be in this chair Friday. Have at it. Just know. I was just like one person after another brought in a gift. I'm like,
oh, now you're like, so yeah. Getting lost.
So
after
she was giving you this death stare.
No, she was really cool about it.
Really,
she was really cool about it. I thought like with each one I would feel the heat. I needed a heat shield.
It's like a Yankee strikeout.
Like, where is she? But each one I did get a look like.
18
case. Told you.
You should have.
Right, she didn't beat you down about it. Like she
you could have
you
quick postmated something real quick. Like postmate some flowers or some wine.
Well, I mean, the idea was, you know, because the guys on the trip, I was looking for them to say, "You're with me, right? You're with me."
And they're like, "Nope."
A couple of them were like, "You know what? You should do is send something the next day."
Then you're more memorable.
To say, "Hey." Been thinking about that last night. It was so great. Here's a from us.
Did you do it?
No, I didn't.
No.
I didn't do it. That would take time and me having to go online.
A couple clicks on your phone.
But you're already surfing X and Threads, so you're already online on your phone, and you could have did it.
I don't know. I'm like kind of on the fence.
I have a feeling like I'm talking about Fight Club here a little bit.
Yep, you've already talked.
But you didn't name drop.
No, there's no name dropping. It's
who
just,
was at the party?
I'm not. No one you would know.
Was Murph there?
Murph was definitely not there.
Was Murph
this was
there?
A Murphless event,
was Murph
pal.
There?
This is a Murphless event.
I'm on the fence, though.
As far east to the Hamptons he goes as Queens.
Were you in Long Beach?
He'd be stopped at the. He'd be stopped. You talk about a water's edge, like right around like Long Beach.
That's right. I used to live
in Long Beach. Long Beach Island, LBI, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
For a summer. Yep.
LBI.
But I was so resolute. I'm like, we really have to bring like a gift for the 60th birthday, celebrant. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Totally get it.
But for the person
stayed
who's
over at their house
the
too for a night,
hosting
totally
the party.
Get it. Absolutely.
See,
hey, thank
still,
you. Thank
I,
you.
I
appreciate
I don't
it.
Know, man.
So the person that's hosting the party and the person that's having
the
party.
No. It was somebody who is kind enough to host a dinner as part of the weekend at her place.
So separate from the actual party.
Correct.
Separate.
It's part of the weekend.
Oh, okay.
There was this on Friday night, this on Saturday night, this during the day Saturday, this during the day Friday.
Did you bring a gift to every different event?
No. This is the only one that somebody hosted. Oh. Well, actually, there was an impromptu hosting on Saturday night, and I'm like, maybe we should send a gift.
Impromptu.
Like, where does it end, though, right?
I was
like,
exactly.
Where is the water's edge?
Yeah, it's like on
Sunday morning has like a brunch. Do you have to bring a gift to that then?
On Long Island, you're close to the water.
I am sure there are many people listening to this conversation and watching it saying, what a total dumb jackass. We all are. Or are we the guys, just the guys who just don't have this gene in them? You definitely aren't bringing a gift.
No. I don't get invited
anymore. I might have.
You know, it's because nobody invites you because you don't make yourself available.
I mean, that's TJ. That's the point, Rich. I'm not going to go.
You, TJ Jefferson, more than any of us here.
Yep.
When a celebrity guest comes in, they either know you or remember you from knowing you. You are truly maybe the most popular person in this room, and that includes Mr. I'll take a selfie of me driving myself to one of my 15 jobs.
Mike, easy on the car selfies.
Now it's now more.
Honestly.
I'm only popular with the people that come in, not with the people that actually work here.
Just saying that out there. All right.
All right, somebody invite me to a party, I'll come.
You can bring a gift.
Well, come out, right. It goes without saying. What kind am I, an animal?
I'm the idiot. It's Monday. It's time to overreact to things.
You know.
It's Overreaction Monday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All righty. What do you got over there?
What's up, guys?
Oh, boy.
Everybody good? Chris. What up, though?
Hey, TJ. How's it going, man?
It's cracking,
man. Great fight. Bud Crawford. What's up?
Oh, man.
You know what? We all got a big scare last week in Cincinnati. That Joe Burrow thing, the video, non-contact, pretty scary. But just in case, maybe for some Burrow insurance, the Bengals should trade for Trey Lance ASAP.
No. Ooh. No. They should not. They should not trade for Trey Lance.
What if
Trey
Joe
Lance?
Burrow gets hurt? You going to roll out Trevor Siemian when you're ready to win a Super Bowl?
As a Jet fan, I am 1,000,000% totally on board with that. And I'm a Northwestern guy like Trevor Siemian. It didn't work out and has never worked out. That is not
going to work out.
That is not a 17-game, 18-week, hey, let's just hope he's Nick Foles, Jeff Hostetler rolled into one. That is a tall order, I would think. But we don't know. That's the whole thing about this Burrow injury. I put out there, hey, here's the first 4 weeks of the season for the Bengals, just in case several weeks, which is what Zach Taylor referred to, how long this injury will take to heal, suddenly bleeds into the first month of the season. And I got pushback from Bengals Nation saying, well, 6 weeks from now is at Cleveland for the opener, isn't it? I'm like, well, wouldn't it be a 4 to 6 week announced injury if it is just 4 to 6 weeks? You're putting several weeks out there just to keep, what, people guessing if he's going to play week one or not? So Trey Lance needs a ton of reps, and you're not just going to bring him in and get him up to speed in a total new offense in your way of doing things right now in hopes of Burrow. And then what do you, then you sit him? Then you sit him until, you know, when Burrow comes back? I don't know. I think that's an overreaction at the moment. And because if he blew his Achilles out, then I'd have to sit here and think seriously about that. But he's also just as, I mean, Trevor Siemian is way more experienced than Trey Lance. And Trey is a different quarterback than Burrow.
A little more explosive than Trevor Siemian.
You know, I get it. But you have to also reconfigure the way you do things there.
Maybe, maybe not. Joe Mixon, Chase.
That's a tall order.
T. Higgins.
What else, Chris?
Just going to talk on this, but the running back thing for a second. Jonathan Taylor, I think the Colts should trade him right now while he still has value.
No chance. It's just never going to happen.
They do it. Trade him.
To who? For what? I mean,
somebody, a team that needs a running back?
Why? Because he's going to hold out? Because he's not going to play? He's going to sit at home and forego, you know, and his contract will not toll, and he's going to be a restricted free agent next year instead of being unrestricted? No way. I mean, and they know that. That whole NFI stuff is just nuts. But that's just another way of saying, you know, the kid from Wisconsin needs a wake-up call. you know, that this is the leverage that you either play for us or not at all, which is why Jim Irsay went with, we could all die. And when we all die, you know, the league will go on. Oh, God. It'll be more depressing.
Kyle Shanahan.
Jeez. Yeah, I know. They're not trading him. Not now and not in October, exclamation point, as Jim Irsay texted Albert Breer, who's on tomorrow's program. What else, Chris?
This one might be a little spicy, but I did notice over the weekend that Zeke Elliott was visiting New England.
Yes, indeed.
Which was pretty interesting. Got me to raise some eyebrows. I was like, oh, okay. Yes. Thinking about it, talking myself into it. If he does sign with the Pats, Zeke Elliott, more touchdowns this year than Tony Pollard. Got to think of him in that LeGarrette Blount.
I know, red but Ramondre Stevenson, what, you're not going to give it to him either? It's not going to be some vulturing there either.
I think we're going to have a kind of a three-man backfield in New England.
I'll say that's not an overreaction. I'll say that that is definitely – I can't sit here and say that's impossible. Can't sit here and say that. It's, you know, Ramondre suddenly shows up as questionable on an injury report, which happens every now and then in New England.
Three TDs one day.
I hear you.
Could be fun.
I think Zeke in the hands of Belichick, Bill O'Brien, would be a fantastic – fantastic development for you and Patriots Nation, and also just an intriguing combination, because you know that guy is as fundamentally sound as possible. Belichick must look at him and just go, I love this guy.
Yeah. Pass protect.
Oh, my gosh.
Catch the ball out of the backfield.
Oh, absolutely. The quick game wouldn't effing suck if that happens. So
I got to imagine the quick game is not going to suck.
Okay. So, all right.
I'm kind of hoping. I don't know. Hey, I was reading some stuff out of Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Culture shock, everybody's
How
saying.
How about that?
The laissez-faire attitude of Cliff Kingsbury, no more.
Sitting there without his...
Jonathan Gannon, you're 30 seconds late. You're out. Door shut. Fine. I was like, whoa.
So is it with Kingsbury is just like, be as late as you want?
I guess.
Is that what it was?
Or it's just kind of like, hey, whatever.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Arizona, I know we all think they're going to be the number one pick this year, right?
Yes.
They're going to be the favorite. They are not going to come in last in the NFC West.
Okay. Dude, just sell your Rams tickets. Just sell them. Sell them if you don't want to go and you don't believe in them. Just sell your tickets.
Well,
sell them.
I didn't say the Rams were coming in last.
But who's coming in last? Seattle?
They already have running back issues.
Oh,
who's carrying the
here.
Ball?
Get
Zach Charbonnet shoulder injury. Kenneth Walker groin. He's out several weeks. What's going? Geno Smith is not going to be whatever he was last year. Amazing.
Yeah.
Comeback player of the year from the bench.
Seattle has no history of getting a third, fourth stringer 1,000 yards. None at all. You want to introduce you to the Chris Carson of 2023, whoever that is? They have him. I'm not worried about that.
Arizona, not last. But weird stuff happens every year, man.
Put the Cardinals schedule
weird stuff
up.
Happens
Will you
every
please?
Year.
And you know I'm you know.
Colt McCoy magic
I don't,
for the first thing. Kyler Murray's ready
Colt
week
McCoy,
one.
Colt McCoy is somebody who can get you through 6 weeks. I agree. The Cardinals schedule, brother. You know. They've got home games against the Giants and the Cowboys before they're at San Francisco. They start at Washington, which is a total shrug emoji
team.
We
don't know what that team's
going to
be.
None at all.
Right.
Maybe Burrow's back for week five. Cincinnati at home, at the Rams, at Seattle, home for Baltimore. These are very difficult games to win with your backup quarterback, and I don't think they're going to – what's more likely? As you know, I like to push back. Kyler Murray doesn't play at all this season, and we're wondering about what the Cardinals do with Caleb Williams sitting out there, or they finish third or better in their division. Okay.
Third or better.
Let's move on.
Kyler Murray's not going to play all year?
Not if they're 1-6, 1-7. Are you going to rush him back?
Him back 9 months is week one. All right.
What else?
While it's awesome, you know, seeing all the clips and the verbal barbs, Sean Payton and Rodgers should probably stop talking.
Well,
let's calm down.
Sean Payton has, and Rodgers said his piece once. Well,
yeah,
so
I think that's
going to
get replayed on Hard Knocks. I mean,
I'm sure it will be. So, and Sean Payton said it, and Eve said it was a mistake, and he's moved. He's not saying another word. You know, all I know is...
What are they playing, week five?
With the Jets starting at the Bills. I mean, with the Jets starting home against the Bills at Dallas. And then finishing up those first two with New England visiting, and then Kansas City visiting, and then that week six game with Philadelphia visiting before the bye. Their game at Denver was totally lost in the shuffle.
And now
not anymore. That game, I imagine, is going to be a late window on CBS. Nance and Romo might not have been there. They are now. And it'll be non-stop questions all week long. And I'm sure Sean Payton's like, guys, you know, asked and answered. I've moved on. Maybe the Jets make Nathaniel Hackett available that week. I don't know. But they won't say another word. Both guys. You know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, right. You know, as you know, Sean Payton, friend of the program. I mean, he'll go on and Pat will ask and maybe he'll say one more thing on it. Or I said enough. Or he'll go in one more time. Whatever.
Not helping the cause to keep
whatever,
talking.
Whatever
this.
Aaron wants.
If both of these teams are 1-3 at that point, do we care about this?
Oh, yeah. Because the loser goes to 1-4. Now it's on
cracking. The drain.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Probably care more.
Get out of here.
If they're 1-3.
TJ.
Just a question.
My gosh. It's like you've never been a Cowboy fan ever.
I've never been 1-3.
What? Like, it's great if they win. It's great if they lose for the talking about it. You got one more item?
A couple baseball things. Trade deadline. Very, 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 very close. Man, sorry, TJ, your Mets have imploded. If the Astros they get stink. Verlander, Astros World Series favorites?
For getting there for the American League or winning it all?
Winning the whole thing.
Dude.
If they get Verlander, they're hot.
I got it.
Defending chance.
I know.
Verlander goes home.
Verlander's hot a little bit.
Atlanta still plays baseball, right? The Braves still play baseball?
Yeah. So good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, no, they would be favorites out of the American League. Right. Unless, you know, the Rays or the O's or
Rangers.
They might be without Heim. They're behind the plate for the rest of the year, too. They're hoping 2 to 3 weeks of just rest will do what surgery might have to take care of. So, sure, it's not an overreaction to say that. What else?
I was going to troll you with the Yankees, but I'm not going to.
Go ahead. Do it. Go
ahead. No, I'm not going to. I think the Angels could win the AL. Angels could win the pennant. They're making moves. They got Lucas Giolito. They got a couple of bats. They're making moves. They're showing Ohtani, hey, look.
Yeah.
We're trying to win around you. Trout's coming back. Why can't they get hot and go on a run?
Why not? Agreed.
Is it better for baseball if the Angels make the World Series?
Of course it is. Is it better for baseball?
Angels Braves World Series. How awesome is that?
Is it better for baseball that Shohei Ohtani plays games that matter deep into October? Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And Mike Trout. We need it.
Yeah.
We need it. I'm pulling with you.
That's not a, you I'm can't say that is an overreaction at all. All right. Well done. We'll take a break. Set up shop with Tom Verducci before we do a fun conversation with all you on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. And hour number 3, 844-204-RICH, number to dial to have a chat with us.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Looks like Pee Wee Herman passed away. Paul Rubens, the actor.
Yeah,
it
looked like he was privately battling cancer. Oh. Yeah, died at age 70 last night. So sad.
Oh, man. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. And we've got, you know what I want to do when the radio audience returns? You that want to expand a little bit on Ohtani. A little bit here. Your Red Sox gonna make moves or what, brother?
Man,
Devers is like, you know, we're hot. We're coming on a little bit strong here, office should add some help.
Would have been nice to win yesterday. Got walked off 2 games in a row. Tough series in San Francisco, but they've been the hottest team in July, hottest team since the All-Star break. So
right.
Be nice to see them do something.
I haven't been paying attention too much to the Red Sox. Did they lose their best player to a toe injury for a month, get him back, and then sit him? Did they do that?
No.
Or was that just the Yankees?
Nope.
Okay.
They didn't do that. They didn't do that. No.
Just wondering.
We gave away our best player for nobody.
That's true.
Years ago.
You did do that.
Yeah.
You let him walk.
We did that.
Yeah. And then did it similar fashion.
And then sort of just let our second best player walk.
Yes.
You know, not even really make a competitive
offer.
But
you signed your...
We did that.
I saw you tweeted about Tristan Casas, right?
I did. He's been on fire. He's 500 since the All-Star break.
Did I tell you about him when I was doing Tokyo Gold on Peacock?
No.
He was the first baseman for Team USA in the Olympics.
Yeah. He's a giant.
He's a giant.
Yes, he's a giant.
And he was one of their best players, and they said he was a Red Sox prospect. There he is.
Yep, finally. So, he's been great. Justin Turner's been awesome. I was not expecting this much out of him when I picked him up.
But he's a freaking great
professional baseball player.
Please.
It's been great.
Get out of here. Unbelievable. Back here on our Rich Eisen Show radio stream, along with our stream on the Roku channel. You gotta give it up to the Los Angeles Angels, bud. They come out of the All-Star break and have the Houston Astros, you know, beat them 2 out of 3 and rip their hearts out in the process. And then the Yankees come into town. And this guy, referring to myself, sits in this chair and goes, this is the time for the Yankees to just show Ohtani, come with us.
Right.
We're going to end your season. You're without Trout. You got no hope. You got no nothing. And they sweep the Yanks. Sweep them.
Shocking.
And Ohtani doesn't pitch one of those games either. Right?
Yeah, because he's still got the blister.
And
thing.
So, but then they, you know, finish up the homestand with Ohtani homering in what is, at the time, folks were wondering, maybe his last game at home in Los Angeles, Anaheim, whatever you want to call it, Southern California. And he goes off to Detroit and get rained out. So it's now time for a doubleheader. This happened while I was out of the chair. And he throws a one-hit shutout in the first game. And then a half an hour after completing the one-hit shutout, he finishes off the Tigers, walks off the mound. I mean, you shower? What do you do? You just straight.
Maybe got a little treatment.
Yeah, give me a little treatment.
Yeah, rub down. Yeah,
a half hour in between games. And then he's batting second, top of the first next game, home run. And then homers again in the game. Is it the greatest doubleheader performance ever? I don't even need to look it up. So one hit shutout in the first game, and then a multi-home run performance in the second game. And the Angels start making trades. They get Lucas Giolito, who I know isn't having a terrific season for the White Sox, but he's, you know, from Southern California. Welcome home. And then last night, they get two terrific hitters from the Rockies. You know, Trout's going to come back. They got my guy, Mickey Moniak.
Hey, now.
My guy. And you look at the standings. And the Angels are a half game behind the rotting, fetid New York Yankees, who are absolutely not as good a team and absolutely don't have the momentum. And the Red Sox are 2.5 games out of the playoffs. The Angels are 4 games out of the playoffs, and they're going for it. And they're going for it. And you got to give it up to them.
Yeah, good on them, man.
You have to give it up. Trout gets hurt, All-Star break hits, Astros rip their hearts out, Yankees come to town, and Phil Nevin and the Angels are like, we'll sweep them and we'll keep going. I don't even know how they're still behind the Yankees in the standings. It makes no sense to me.
That's how far back they were. They were under 500.
Gotta give it up.
Yeah.
Gotta give it up. To get Grichuk and CJ Krohn, who Angels fans know already, let's go. They're a better team than the Yankees right now because they're not going to sit Ohtani. Let's rest them. I cannot believe the Yankees last night, a starting pitcher gives up 7 runs before recording it out. Luis Severino has been terrible this year. Terrible. And he's that guy that I know Cashman was hoping to, you know, Cole and then Rodon if he didn't get hurt, and then Severino. See you later. You can't, I mean, this is as bad as, the last time he's seen a pitcher pitch this bad for the Yankees was A.J. Burnett. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He was unusable. All right. About the Angels and Ohtani and them deciding we're not folding the tent and we're going to start winning games when people think we can't because Trout's out, and then we're going to add 2 pitchers, 2 hitters, and let's go. Well done.
Trout's back in a couple weeks.
Well done. Well done. And fans here in Southern California should reward them with their fannies in a seat.
Right.
Yeah.
Bring your rally monkeys and your thunder sticks, you know, like it's
2002
all over again. Because you have the best player on planet Earth playing this sport, maybe the best player of all time, and that is not anything out of the realm to call Shohei Ohtani that. He is playing at the highest level I've ever seen anybody play, doing it all in the same day. And personally keeping things afloat enough for them to bring in reinforcements. And let's see how it goes. I'm rooting for him. I want to see Ohtani out there in October. They still have a lot of work to do.
It shows they're not wrapping it up. They're not phoning it
no.
in. They're
getting
trying
it done.
To keep them.
They're not. And you know, I think they will have help from in front of teams falling apart in front of them.
Like the Mets.
Well done with the Angels. Well done.
We're going to find out. They have a crazy August. Really hard schedule.
What do you got?
3 against the Braves starting tonight. Home for 4 against Seattle. Home for 4 against San Francisco. At Houston for 3. At Texas for 3.
That's great.
Home for Tampa. Home for the Red Hot Reds. And then they end the month at the Mets. So that's probably a sweep, TJ. Sorry.
No, I mean, you.
No, and then at Philly. I mean, that's tough.
It is tough.
They have a really tough August, so we're going to find out what they're made of.
Well, but Chris, remember a few days ago, we wondered if he'd even still be on the team at this
true.
Point. So
that's true.
Oh, there's no question he's staying put.
Oh, absolutely. So,
and they're going to make, but at least they're going to, they've made their run.
They're trying. They made moves.
Tom Verducci will join us in a matter of moments here to talk about it.
Also, it looks like Tim Patrick, that was an Achilles for him, Tim Patrick. That's what Sean Payton said.
Back to bat.
Man, he's non-contact, and that's why I'm worried about Burrow.
Yep.
But if it was Achilles, they would have said it already.
They would have.
Well, because with Achilles,
they call it a calf strain.
Well, with Achilles, don't you have to just wait till it swelling goes down, then you get surgery on it right away?
Right. Yeah.
Well, that hasn't happened yet for Burrow.
Correct.
So that's good news.
Plus, the calf was wrapped. He had a sleeve on it to start with.
Just the way he just kicked his leg out like that, it looked like.
Yeah,
it
was really,
the one thing that really was bad. Only good is that he didn't look down and behind like what I just trip on,
like
which
Kobe
is what
did.
Everybody does when their Achilles pops. It's just like, who kicked me?
Yep.
He didn't do that. We're all doctors.
Doctor, doctor, and doctor.
For over 3 decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.